Take your Bibles, please. Turn to the book of Lamentations, chapter 2. Lamentations, chapter 2. We'll be reading verses 15 and 16. Lamentations is right after the book of Jeremiah. Just a little five-chapter book there. Lamentations, chapter 2. We'll read verses 15 and 16. I'll read verse 15. You join me on verse 16, and we'll turn to yet two other places there in the book of Lamentations. Lamentations chapter 2, verses 15 and 16. Again, I'll read verse 15. You join me on verse 16. All that pass by clap their hands at thee. They hiss and wag their head at the daughter of Jerusalem, saying, Is this the city that men call the perfection of beauty, the joy of the whole earth? All thine enemies have opened their mouth against thee. They hiss and gnash the teeth. They say, We have swallowed her up. Certainly is this the day we looked for. We have found, we have seen it. Now turn to chapter 4, verse number 12 and verse 13. I'll read verse 12. You read verse number 13. The kings of the earth and all the inhabitants of the world would not have believed that the adversary and the enemy should have entered into the gates of Jerusalem. For the sins of her prophets and the iniquities of her priests that have shed the blood of the just in the midst of her. Now let's turn over to chapter 5. We'll read verse 16 together. Chapter 5, verse number 16. Ready? The crown is fallen from our head. Woe unto us that we have sinned. And let's pray. Father, thank you for our church. Thank you for such a great host of people that you have given us here. But most of all, thank you for being our God. Thank you for our country. Father, today we get to gather together. We have the freedom to do so. Have the freedom of having the Word of God open and preached to us. Father, thank you that you've given us a man of God like you've given us here in this place. Fill our preacher with your power. Fill us with your power as we listen. Change our hearts, our minds, and our lives so we could go out and do more to reach this country and this world for you, please. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated.
Our country just celebrated the 4th of July. We consider it Independence Day. A day where we say a pledge of allegiance to our flag. In that pledge, it includes the words, One Nation Under God. A day where we sing, God Bless America. A day where we sing the Star-Spangled Banner, including the words, And this be our motto, In God We Trust. I walked through a country courthouse square on a park bench. An old man was sitting there. I said, Your old courthouse is kind of run down. He said, Nah, it'll do for our little town. I said, Your old flagpole has it leaned a little bit, and that's a ragged old flag you got hanging on it. He said, Have a seat. And I sat down. Is this the first time you've been to our little town? I said, I think it is. He said, I don't like to brag, but we're kind of proud of that ragged old flag. You see, we got a little hole in that flag there when Washington took it across the Delaware. It got powder burned the night Francis Scott Key sat watching it writing, Say, can you see? And it got a bad rip in New Orleans with Packingham and Jackson tugging at its seams. And it almost fell at the Alamo beside the Texas flag, but she waved on, though. She got cut with a sword at Chancellorsville, and she got cut again at Shiloh Hill. There was a Robert E. Lee, Beauregard, and Bragg, and the south wind blew hard on that ragged old flag. Our on Flanders Field on World War I, she got a big hole from a Bertha gun. She turned blood red in World War II. She hung limp and low by the time it was through. She was in Korea and Vietnam. She was sent there where she was sent by her own Uncle Sam. She waved from our ships upon briny foam, and now they've almost quit waving her back home. In her own good land where she's been abused, she's been burned, dishonored, denied, and refused. And the government for which she stands is scandalized throughout the land. She's getting threadbare and wearing thin, but she's in good shape for the shape she's in, because she's been through the fire before, and I believe she can take a whole lot more. So we raise her up every morning, take her down every night. We don't let her touch the ground, and we hold her just right. On second thought, I do like to brag, because I'm mighty proud of that ragged old flag. I am proud to be an American. There are, though, sometimes things about America that she almost has a tendency to oppose herself. I noticed on June the 24th, 2008, the USA Today newspaper printed a article. It's in Section D. It's right on the front page. And it's about the people in America, what we'd call the Christians, if you will, of America. And it says, it's called this, "Believers are okay with many paths." Now, here at our church, we host an annual event called the Old Path Conference. But here it says that we're all satisfied in America with many religious paths. I got to looking at what they said. If you read it, it's a huge article, and then you go to page number 2, and it says this. It says they interviewed people in America, and they found out, they asked the question, is there a hell? 59% of America said, yes, we think there's a hell. 41% of America said, we don't think there's a hell, or we don't know. You realize, folks, we're almost to the point where half America doesn't even believe in hell anymore. Then, another question asked in the paper, is homosexuality acceptable? 50% of America said yes, it is acceptable. 50% said no, or they're just not real sure. You realize, once again, half of America now sees sodomy as acceptable. Oh, what's happened in America? What in the world are we thinking? This question is asked. It's right in the USA Today newspaper, June 24. They ask the question, does Hollywood hurt your values? 58% of America said no, or we don't think Hollywood is hurting the values of our country or of our family. Only 42%. You realize now those that believe that what goes on in Hollywood is acceptable and it's a normal lifestyle, they are now, according to this survey, they are now in the majority in America. They asked the question about attending church. And they said, how many think you ought to attend church more than one time a week? 15%, that's it. Only 15%. Do you realize in this very same survey, they said 70% of the American public now believes that many religions lead someone to salvation and going to heaven. Now see, I've got a problem with that because Jesus said in John 14:6, he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. Hey, the Bible teaches, we're not talking about churches. I don't think there's a Catholic way to heaven or a Baptist way to heaven or a Pentecostal way to heaven. I think there's a Jesus way to heaven. And you got to be born again according to that book right there. You've got to be born again. But they're saying 70% of America says there are just many ways of salvation. Well, that's not what the Bible says. Earlier, you read with Brother Bush from the book of Lamentations. In Lamentations chapter 2 and in chapter 4, Jeremiah the prophet is saying that the kings of the earth and the inhabitants of the world would not have ever believed that the enemy would have entered into the gates of Jerusalem. In Lamentations chapter 4, verse number 20, it says, who would have believed that anything like this could have ever happened to a nation as great as what Jerusalem and that city once was? It actually, if you read the passage of Scripture, if you listened to what was being read, it said, once your enemies respected you, now your enemies are virtually laughing at you. Now they hiss, the Bible says, and wag their heads saying, is this the city that at one time was considered the city of perfection? In chapter number 5 of Lamentations, they're reminded that they have taken their inheritance and they have wasted that inheritance. Said, there's really no more true joy in the hearts of the people, and there's not a music of God in the air. And then I want you to listen carefully. In Lamentations chapter 5, verse number 16, the Bible says this. It says, the crown is fallen from our heads. the crown has fallen from our heads. And I want everybody to sit still and be real still. Make sure your cell phone's off. Give me your undivided attention. I don't want anything to disrupt this sermon. It is for the sake of our country. In verse number 16, it says, the crown is fallen from our heads. What they're saying here is the Old Testament prophet said there was a time when Jerusalem was so well respected. There was a time when it seemed as if nothing could take over Jerusalem, and that Jerusalem stood head and shoulders above all the other lands and all the other territories. And it said that you are just a powerful, well respected area, country, city, a group of people. But it says the crown has fallen from her heads. It was almost as if God had placed a crown upon their head. Said, look, everybody can look right there. Reminds me of the Statue of Liberty and the crown that is placed on her head. May I ask a question today, America? Has your crown fallen off of your head? America, has your crown fallen off of your head? God often in His Word speaks of the spiritual condition of an entire nation. In Proverbs 14:34, the Bible says, righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. America, has your crown fallen off of your head? Righteousness will exalt our nation, but sin will bring a reproach to our nation. Psalm chapter 9, verse number 17, the Bible says this, the wicked shall be turned into hell, and all nations that forget God. Now, for those that were interviewed in the USA Today, and 50% of them or so, whatever that statistic was, that they don't believe in a hell, they better wake up and realize something. God said there was a hell. Now, who should I believe, them or God? But here the Bible says, the wicked shall be turned into hell, and all nations that forget God. Hey, America, you better not forget God. You better not forget God, because righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin will bring a reproach to any people, any people, any people. It doesn't matter if it's Mexico, sin will bring a reproach to that country. It doesn't matter if it's Canada or England, but let me remind you, hey, America, sin will bring a reproach to our country. Jeremiah chapter 2, verse number 7, the Bible says, and I brought you into a plentiful country to eat the fruit thereof and the goodness thereof. But when ye entered, ye defiled my land and made mine heritage an abomination. Let me tell you something, folks. God brought us into the land of the free and the home of the brave. God brought us to a country called America. What a unique country. We see the bountiful plains and all the resources of America. But wait a minute. Here it says, the Old Testament prophet said, God could bring someone to a wonderful country. God could bring someone where things are bountiful, but they turn their back on God. Jeremiah 2:7 again. I brought you into a plentiful country to eat the fruit thereof and the goodness thereof. But when ye entered, ye defiled my land and made mine heritage an abomination. What's happened to our country? I want to ask you a question today. America, has your crown fallen off of your head? Though the Old Testament prophet was talking about that Jerusalem, let me say to you, in a very special way, America has been crowned all around this world. All the countries of the world have looked at the magnificence of the United States of America. They would pull into New York Harbor. They would see the Statue of Liberty. They would see that torch that blazed with freedom. They would see the crown that had been put on her head. But I wonder if I traveled there today. I wonder if I went to that body of water in which she sits, if the crown would be missing. Does the Statue of Liberty still have her crown? You say, yes, Brother Lewis. I was there recently, and I seen it. I wonder if spiritually the crown has fallen off the brow of the United States of America. What's happening in our country? Has our crown fallen from our country's head?
Is America committing spiritual suicide? What's going on? Would our forefathers turn over in their graves? And let me tell you something. Those men that shed their blood to give us all glory, and those men that shed their blood to keep America strong, they were fighting and dying for America that they felt like was worth dying for. Some of them, if they could see what was happening in America today, it would turn their stomachs. They would not believe that they shed their blood for a country that has their tail between their legs and turning on the God that made them what they are. I still believe that this can be one nation under God, but I'm going to tell you something. If the crown has not fallen off of our head, it is teetering. It is teetering between the crown being taken off. Hey, and the sad part about it is there's a portion of America that's ready to take the crown off and throw it down if that crown has any association with God. You say, what's the problem, Brother Owens? What's the problem? I ask you this question. Has America's crown fallen? Because God's word is no longer respected? Is that why America's crown is teetering? Is that why that crown that showed God's blessing and the mightiness of God upon our country, is it because we have ignored and stopped respecting the word of God? The Bible says in Psalm 138, verse number 2, I will worship toward thy holy temple and praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for the truth. For thou hast magnified thy word above thy name. God said, I have magnified my word above my name. You've got a black book. We have the old King James Bible. Let me tell you something, my friend. God has magnified that book above his very name. There are people in this house, you would not allow your children to use God's name in vain, but you don't read the Bible to them. They don't have anything to do with the Bible. You have to search for it on Sunday morning because it's not been found on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, and you grab it to take it to church with you just in case you want to have a book in your hand. But that book right there is magnified above the very name of God. He said, I magnified my word above all my name. Hey, our kids ought to go around singing the B-I-B-L-E. Yes, that's the book for me. I stand upon the word of God, the B-I-B-L-E. It's been removed from our public schools. And let me make sure I make this clear. One of the stupidest things the United States of America could have done. They took the Bible out of our public schools. And I know you won't hear many people talk about it anymore, but I'm still kicked off about it. It's still wrong. It still hurt our country. We have been going downhill ever since. Ever since they took the Bible out of the public school system, they've tried to replace it. You can't replace the Word of God. You cannot. I'm for other textbooks being there, but I'm telling you something. The Word of God is what this great country was built upon, and if she's ever going to become great like she could be, she'll have to get back to the old black book. That's all there is to it. We've removed God's word from our public schools. The USA Today, that very same article that I told you about, the one that's called Believers Are Okay with Many Paths, that very same USA Today article asked this question, is there a clear-cut, absolute right and wrong? That's a question. So do you believe there is a clear-cut, absolute right and wrong? Only 39% of America said yes. 61% of America said, we don't think there's a clear cut right and wrong. We're not sure what it would be if there was. Only 39% of America believes that there is a clear, absolute right and wrong. Well, let me make something very clear to you. Had they left the Bible in the public school, we would have 100% of the people in America say, the Bible is the truth. Whatever the Bible says is right, and if you do outside the Bible, you're wrong. You're wrong. There is a clear-cut right and wrong. You said, well, who died and made you boss? Nobody died and made me boss. Jesus died. He always has been boss. He wrote a book. He said, that's right, and that tells you what's wrong, and believe it. Oh, America, we've gotten away from the Word of God. America has turned her back on the Word of God and the God of the Word. And God said, I magnify my Word above my name. We ought to respect this old black book. Hey, America, has your crown fallen? America, Does your crown teeter upon your brow? America, what is on the horizon? Will it fall? Hey, I'll tell you something. When we've been right with God, there's not been an enemy on the face of the earth that could knock the crown off. They've come from us. They've come at us from every angle and tried to take old America on. America would hang old glory above their head with a Bible in their hands and say, bring it on. We'll take them on. Hey, folks, don't you be surprised if we don't start suffering some defeat. We are going, if we're not careful, lose the blessing of God on our life. Nobody's been able to knock the crown off. The problem's going to be America's about to the point where she's ready to take that crown of God's blessing and throw it on the ground. Don't abuse the Word of God. Read it. Read it. Get that book back out. Get that. Hey, if your children are in a public school, Mom and Dad, you better make sure they're getting into the Bible on a daily basis. On a daily basis, on a daily basis, on a daily basis. And you young people, if you go to the public school, I didn't have the privilege of going to a Christian school. I had to go to the public school. I wish I wouldn't have, but I did. I went to the public school. But let me tell you something. I had to get into my Bible if I were going to keep my brain screwed on straight. You need to read it. Hey, memorize the Word of God. Why? Let's put the crown back on America's head. God is not going to bless a country that turns their back on the Word of God. Hey, you read it. You memorize it. You believe it. Hey, you know what? I think we need a revival in America of giving old King James Bibles as gifts again. You gotta give the Bible as a gift at graduation time. Stop being ashamed of giving the Bible as a gift to somebody getting married. Stop being ashamed of giving the Bible as a gift to somebody for their birthday. You say, they might be offended. If you are such a coward that you cannot hand someone a Bible and say, this is what I am, that is what I stand for, you're part of the reason the crown is being knocked off the brow of America. There shouldn't be any problem handing somebody a Bible. We need to start giving them away. We better start spreading them. Hey, you have people all across the mission field. They're printing Bibles and trying to get them to foreign lands. We better start printing some for America. We better start distributing them in America again. Believe it. Read it. Memorize it. Give it as a gift. Quote it. Don't be afraid to quote the Bible. Don't be afraid to mention the Bible. Don't be afraid to stand for the Bible. Don't be afraid to carry your Bible. When I went to the public school as a high schooler, I took my Bible with me every single day. Everybody knew where I stood. That was the book. It was the book. And when I worked secularly down at the machine shop, I took my Bible in with me every day. They watched me walk into work with that Bible every day. People ought to know. Don't be afraid to have that Bible on the dash of your car. Don't be afraid to have it out where people can see it. Hey, put it out where everybody can see who you are and what you stand for. Has America lost her crown? Has her crown fallen from her head? Is she about to toss the crown on the ground? Why? How could that happen? When we turn our backs on the Word of God, we are turning our backs on the blessing of God. And that's like taking that crown and dashing it to pieces on the ground. Has America fallen because preachers no longer preach the Word of God? What's happened in America? What's happened? People, it's almost as if there's a bunch of preachers out there that think this thing of preaching is an occupational choice. Well, I've got news for you. It's a calling of God. There's more to it than that. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse number 2 says, preach the word, be instant, in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. Here the Bible says a preacher's supposed to preach the word. He's supposed to preach it in season. You say, what is that? Hey, he's supposed to preach what's right when it's wanted and when it's not wanted. It's in season and out of season. The preacher's supposed to preach what's right when it's popular and when it is not popular. I'm so sick and tired of watching preachers interviewed by all these people, all these talk show hosts on America. God knows they wouldn't want to put me on there. It wouldn't be good. I'll tell you, preachers with their tail between their legs, they're afraid to preach against sin anymore. Yo, we are in a mess. Hey, let me tell you something. There is salvation in none other than Jesus Christ. I don't care what 70% of America thinks. There is one way to heaven. You better realize you're a sinner. You better realize there's a penalty for your sin. You better realize that Jesus Christ died for you, was buried for you, and resurrected for you. And if you don't trust Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you're going to split hell wide open. You say, but I am sincere and I don't believe that way. You can burn in hell sincerely for the rest of eternity. We are so scared to death to tell the truth anymore. In America, we have turned our backs on the gospel of Jesus Christ. We have turned our backs, and it's preacher's fault, by the way. I'm not blaming the pew. I'm blaming the pulpit. I'm blaming the pulpit. They're cowards. The only reason it'd be caused from the pew is because the pew puts pressures on a preacher like me to stand up and tell you what it's like, and then people in the pew attack the preacher. Well, it'll be a cold day in hell before you back me off. I was looking for a job when I got this one. Baby, I can look for another if I need it. But I'm not changing what I believe. You will die and go to hell if you don't get born again. That's called hellfire brimstone. You really don't hear that much anymore, do you? That's because. See, preachers are trying so hard to be politically correct. They're biblically incorrect. There's a hell. If you don't get saved, you're going to go to it. We don't want you to go to hell. You know, the preaching of hell scared the fire out of somebody. Don't you let this liberal society, hey, they don't want anybody to believe anything anymore. You listen to me. I believe that preachers ought to stand in the pulpit and preach. I think they ought to call sin, sin. If it's black, it's black, and it ought to be said. I still believe if you were here in Sunday school, and you should have been, you ought to come to Sunday school. It starts just an hour before church. And you should have been here. Had you been here in Sunday school, maybe you could help us to turn the tide on the liquor traffic in America. I'm against booze. I'm against liquor. I'm against Jack Daniels, Budweiser. I'm against Bush. You don't know, we have assistant pastor and a family of Bushes in here. I'm against wine coolers. I'm against Mogan David. I'm against your Mad Dog 2020. I'm against it. It's wrong. It's sin. And the businesses that sell it, God's not going to bless them. Not like they could be blessed. I'm against pornography. I'm against the trash that you pump into your house and you call it entertainment. I'm against it. Some of you need to get rid of your internet because you can't control it. It's controlling you. It is ruining you. It's ruining your marriage. It's ruining your family. It's going to ruin your kids. And preachers need to stand up and say it. The preachers, we get back to preaching the Word of God, stop playing golf all the time, stop playing around all the time, and get with it and study the Word of God and get a little guts and a little God and stand up and say, thus saith the Lord. That's what America needs. The answer to America is old-fashioned preaching that does not apologize. Now look, if my personality offends you, I'm sorry, but if the truth that I preach offends you, that's your tough luck, baby. I'm against abortion. It's wrong. I'm against gambling. It's wrong. I'm against sodomy. I'm against communism. And we better start preaching against it again. I'm against communism. I wouldn't want my child in a public school that taught communism is okay. There's a pacifist attitude against communism today. You're going to have to start teaching that sodomy is acceptable. You check your public school and you see if it's not coming. It's coming. I'm against communism. I'm against sodomy. We've got to say it. We've got to say it. I'm against prostitution. I'm against cussing. I'm against Diet Coke. It just don't taste right. You know what? I'd rather be dead than red. Those men and women that gave their lives, World War I and World War II and other wars, they gave their lives because they thought communism was rotten. They thought it was rotten. In America, we're pacifists today. We're pacifists. I say to you, America, has your crown fallen? America, has your crown fallen? We no longer respect the Word of God. We no longer have preachers that will preach the Word. Has America's crown fallen because churches are no longer different than the world? Psalm 74:4 says, thine enemies roar in the midst of thy congregations. They set up their ensigns for signs. Here the Bible says, thine enemies roar in the midst of thy congregations. In other words, the enemy is in the church. The enemy is in the midst of the congregations. Our church has become like Burger King. You remember the old Burger King slogan? Have it your way. Hold the pickles, hold the lettuce, special orders don't upset us. We've just got churches with curbside service. Pull your car up, order what you want, we'll make you happy, pat you on your little head or your little rump, and send you on your way. You just throw a little money in the hat, and we'll say anything you want to hear. Well, you can keep your money in your hat, and you can cram it in your ear. You heard it. I said E-A-R, ear. Let us clarify for those of you in TV land. Now you got to realize, didn't get saved until I was 16. There are some things in there that shouldn't be. We just try to keep them repressed and down. But I'm telling you, my friend, our churches have become like Burger King. They're doing anything they can to try to draw the world into it. And we're to bring sinners to the Savior, but we're not to change the church for them. See, what we're supposed to be doing is changing the sinner, not the church. So what's happening is today, we're wanting to change the church so the sinner feels comfortable. I hate to tell you this, but unspiritual people are not going to feel comfortable about spiritual things. That's how it's supposed to be. You say, well, Lord, I'm never coming back here. I am very sorry you're going to make such a sad decision, but I'll tell you something. When you come here, we're going to exalt a holy God. We're going to exalt an old black book. We're all in the changing process around here. We're not trying to change God to make him palatable to you. We're trying to change you to make you palatable to God. Oh, America, has your crown fallen? Oh, America, hey, listen, you're not to find a church to your liking. Well, I'm looking for a church I like. Well, this probably won't be the one. I'm looking for a church where I feel comfortable. Well, again, you probably won't feel comfortable here 24/7. I'm here to tell you, we're not to be looking for the church of our choice. We're here to look for the church of God's choice. It is God that should feel comfortable at the church. It is the Holy Spirit that should feel comfortable at the church. If the people are not comfortable but God's word is being preached, then there's something wrong with the people. Our churches have become like Burger King. Have it your way. Sometimes we are supposed to feel convicted by the preaching. Did you know that you are not supposed to feel sweet, lovey, and all soft and gooey and happy all the time at church? Look, if you're sucking down liquor, God says that's you're becoming a drunk and it's sin. I hate to tell you this. When we're guilty, we don't usually feel good about it. God said there are going to be people brought under conviction. They're not going to feel good about it. You know, I remember when my dad used to spank me. Never one time did he say, Jeff, does that feel good? No, it hurt where you sat. Why? He didn't want me to reproduce the act that got me hurting where I sat. My dad loved me. My dad wanted to say, don't do that. It'll hurt your life. It'll mess you up. You're going the wrong direction. And your Heavenly Father loves you. And every once in a while, he'll come by and he'll spank you and say, stop it. That's wrong. Go to your room. That's the way God is. Conviction needs to be present. Our churches today are like Burger King. Oh, we don't want to be different than the world. We don't want the old-time religion music. Listen, our church is not going to be like a country or a rock concert. It's just not going to be. If that's what you're looking for, you'll find plenty of them. But don't be shocked if God's not there. Don't be shocked if nobody truly gets born again. Don't be shocked if the church is not known for holiness and separation. Everybody say, I really like this. It's not what we like. It's what God likes. That's what we're looking for. Old-time religion. Hey, what happened to respect for the property of God? What happened to the respect for it? I'll tell you something. Now listen, I don't believe in a double standard. I think you're supposed to live right everywhere you go. I mean, some of us have been sold this cheap trash Christianity that says, well, when you're down at the church, you ought to be good, but when you're away from the church, you know, you do what you want. That's trash. That's trash religion. I don't know anywhere in the Bible where the Bible says there's a double standard. But I can tell you this. If you're not going to live right off the property, which you should, could you at least live right when you're on the property? I'm not justifying misbehavior off. I'm just begging for good behavior on. You come on the church property, you do right. I think you ought to do right when you're off the church property. You can drive by just about any church in America. You'll see people out there smoking on the front door. We don't smoke on our property. I made an announcement yesterday at our picnic. If you're not married, keep your hands off of each other. This is a church. This isn't a burlesque show. We're not here to show our bodies off. We're not here to hug and touch all over each other and cause a bunch of lust. Look, you ought not be doing that if you're not married. Shouldn't be doing it off the property. But if you are on the property of this church, someone may walk up to you and say, get your hands off that person. You're not married to them. We ought to begin to respect. Now, sure enough, I have 10 fights today after church. Now I get all my conservatives wound up. They'll see somebody that's living together and then watch them walk out hand in hand and they'll get tackled and beat to death. Don't do that. But I'm telling you, we need to respect God's property again. America, has your crown fallen? So-called churches all across America with their gambling and their drinking and their dances and their raunchy music. No wonder the crown teeters in America. Churches want to be like movie theaters. Let me tell you something. This church, we're a people factory. We're a factory. This isn't the Grand Old Opera, nor is it going to be. We're going to keep it light, very light in here. We're not here to put on a show. The most important thing that goes on around here has to do with the Word of God, and it's the preaching of the Word of God. You're not going to find us replacing the preaching of the Word of God with drama. You're not going to find that we're not going to replace the Word of God with a whole bunch of music. Now, we may have music, but you can be dead sure when it's church time we're having preaching. We're not trying to draw the world into the church. Now, if they want to come, we're trying to draw people into the church, and they need to come and see something different. Churches all across America looking more and more like movie theaters. Why? Well, so you can go to the movie on Saturday and feel comfortable coming here on Sunday. It's just saying. Just think how much money we could make, Paul, selling popcorn in the foyer. Huh? May we start doing that. You listen to me. Churches are supposed to be different than the world. Here about 4th of July weekend, a nursery school teacher took the opportunity to tell her class about patriotism. We live in a great country, she said. One of the things we should be happy is that in this country, we're all free. All the cute little boys and girls were listening. We're all free, she said. Little boy walked up to her with his hands on his hips. He said, teacher, I'm not free. He said, I'm four. Oh, America, has your crown fallen? Has your crown fallen from your brow? Has that crown where you were crowned a nation among nations, one nation under God, has your crown fallen? Has your crown fallen because you've left the impact of the power of the Word of God? Has your crown fallen because the preachers never preach the Word of God anymore? Has your crown fallen because your church wants to be like the world? Has your crown fallen because our children are no longer being raised to serve God? No, kids should be taught to love God. Kids shouldn't be sent to church. They should be brought to church. Kids should be taught to obey God. Parents need to use God's rules in their home again. We need to make the Bible our child-rearing manual. We need to teach our kids again loyalty to the Word of God and to God's church. Parents want their kids now to be rich and successful. We used to rear our kids to be clean and holy. We're so caught up in the spoiled life of America. Really? You know, here's how parents approach me. Well, the kids have a big house, nice car, good job. I never come to church, but at least they're successful. Who told you you could be successful but not come to church? You probably learned that in that era of no Bible in the public school. Because they can't tell you it takes a Bible to make you a success. I have teachers that would love to stand and say it, but they can't. So we're successful because we got a house and a car, huh? Then there are a bunch of sodomites that are successful, huh? Bunch of atheists that are successful, huh? Success starts with God and ends with God. Christian schools teach you how to earn a living, but not how to live. Martinsburg Christian Academy needs to teach you both. But I'll tell you something, we better get back to raising our kids for God. Parents don't want their kids in the ministry anymore. I wouldn't want my boy to be a missionary. I wouldn't want my daughter to be a preacher's daughter. Let me tell you something. It's an honor to serve God. I thank God for many years now. The highest percentage of our graduating seniors have chosen to give their life to God, go off to be missionaries, evangelists, Christian school teachers, preachers, pastors. Thank God for it. Thank God for it. It used to be like that in America. It used to be that churches would produce some young men and some young ladies that want to serve God with their life. It used to be that Christian schools thought that was important. Now all they're doing is trying to hide from the public school. We're not just trying to hide from the public school. We're trying to teach our kids to serve God. America, has your crown fallen? Has America's crown fallen because we're no longer a praying nation? Do we no longer pray in America? 2 Chronicles 7:14 says, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Listen to me, my friend. Here God is talking to God's people. God is not saying to the wicked world that you are the key to revival for the land. He's saying, the Christians, the born again, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray. You know what? You want to know part of the key that's getting America back to God? You want to know part of the key to us re-steadying that crown on the brow of America? It's you and me praying. Prayer's not just for church. We ought to be praying in our homes. It should not be odd to see a dad in prayer at home or a mom in prayer at home. It should not be odd that dad says we're going to pray before we eat. It should not be odd. It should not be odd. What's happened to boys and girls having bedtime prayers? In America, even the lost that didn't know anything about salvation, their children would grow up at night, get on their knees by their little bed, and say, now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take. At least America used to have a little bit of that. There are Christian homes that kids don't pray one time a day because they're not led to. Burdens used to come into the Christian home, and mom and dad say, kids, let's pray. Let's pray. We need to get back to praying. Praying families. Hey, you have the family over to your place for a 4th of July picnic. Don't you cower and let everybody eat without praying. We're afraid to pray. We better pray for America, folks. You better pray for the next presidential election. You say, what can I do? You better pray. You better pray that God's will be done. I think God's even confused about the next presidential election. Well, I still think we ought to vote. You say, well, in my opinion, there ain't nothing there worth voting for. You ought to vote because you're American. You get a chance to vote because there are some countries that can't do it. It might not be that you're voting for what you want. It might be you're voting for what you don't want. But you better exercise that. the average American that does not vote, it has nothing to do with the candidates. It has to do with them being lazy.
Yes, sir. Come on.
That's the reason the average American doesn't vote. They're lazy.
Yep.
Don't want to take the time to do it. They're too busy making money in their free country. You may pay the price for that someday. Pray for revival in America. Pray for your church. You know what? If you prayed as much as you gossip, we'd probably have revival. Hey, won't you do something? Won't you promise God that you won't say anything negative about anybody for the next month of your life and you'll spend all that time praying? Won't you do that? Would you be willing to do that? Say, God, I'm not going to say anything negative about anybody for the next month of my life. I'll spend all my gossip time praying. Has America's crown fallen? Does the crown teeter from her brow? Is it because we've lost our respect for the Word of God? Is it because preachers no longer thunder aloud against sin? Is it because our churches are no longer different? Is it because we don't want to raise our children to serve God their Maker? Is it because we're no longer a praying nation? Hey, is it because America now approves of false gods? Let me give you one of the Ten Commandments. Exodus chapter 20, verse 3 says, "Thou shalt have no other gods before me." Let me clarify what that means. It's talking about Jehovah God of the Bible. Christianity in America has become cowards. The Muslim religion is not a Christian religion, nor it is a peaceful religion. God said, "Thou shalt have no other gods before me." None. Now, America, you better stop and smell the coffee.
Yes, sir.
You better wake up, America. Muhammad is a false god. It is not Muhammad that was worshipped, loved, praise for the history of America. It is not Muhammad that brought this country to the fame, the wealth, and the success that she has experienced. It is Jehovah God. He is the one and only God. And I'm telling you, in America, if somebody doesn't start saying that, you're going to end up being a Muslim. And you'll say amen to me, but you'll put your tail between your legs when your time comes. I want them all saved. You've not heard me damn anyone to hell. I'm just warning you. If this is one nation under God, I know which God we were talking about. Don't you let the liberal media and the press sour you and convince you we were just talking about all gods. Y'all still out there? America, has your crown fallen? You ought to be reminded your government's not your God either. They're wrong for removing the Ten Commandments. They're wrong. They're wrong for trying to tell us now we can't celebrate Christmas in our public schools. They're wrong. You know what? They're wanting to remove crosses from all public, what they call that property that belongs to the public. Well, they're going to have their hands full at a few cemeteries. They want to take in God we trust off our coins, slip it off the face and see if you put it on the side. A little later on, they're going to slip it off completely.
Right.
You know what? There are people in here, you say, "Preacher, you better be careful. Somebody's going to get mad at you." Just so you know, somebody already is. Isn't it sad that you would sit there and fear me telling the truth in America? Did you ever dream you'd fear someone that stood and said, "Thou shalt have no other gods before me," and them saying, "There is only one God," and you would fear them telling that truth in the United States of America? America's crown, has she fallen? Maybe she's fallen because we've lost respect
for the institution of the family. In Romans 1:26 and 27, it says, "For this cause God gave them up into vile affections. For even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. Likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another. Men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which is meeting." Just so you know, same-sex marriages are against the Bible and they're wrong. Say, but what if the United States government makes them legal? Well, the United States government made abortion legal, but it doesn't make it right for you. It's wrong. It's against nature. You've never seen two bull elephants chasing each other through the jungle. You won't see two roosters in the barnyard dancing together. And they've got moves. You're not going to see two female kangaroos bouncing around together. Troll! Troll! God said all you got to do is wake up and go out in the woods and look at a couple of buck deer. You won't see them out there doing anything. Say, you could be as smart as a pig, can't you? You don't see no queer pigs. Lesbianism is sin. Sin. It's wrong. Homosexuality is sin. Still wrong. You say, well, preacher, that's it. I've had it. I'm never coming back here. Well, I'll tell you what. You won't soon forget this sermon on your way out. I got some of your tail feathers right here in my hand. America's crown has fallen. Why? Why? What's happening? What's happening in America? What's happening in America when you can't stand up and say there's one true and living God? Hey, it sounds like this is back in times, way, way back in the Bible when they would talk about the false gods and all the wickedness that came upon countries. Absolutely, you're right. I think America may lose her crown if she doesn't become concerned again with the souls of men. Say, what can we do, Brother Owens? Keep everybody out of hell that you can. The more people we get saved, the more people will live right. The more people live right, God looks down on a nation and says, that's a nation that I'll spare and I'll use. Our churches want to increase their net worth instead of throwing out the gospel fishing net for the souls of men. Churches no longer care if people get saved. Christians seem to no longer care. Do you know there'll be churches by the thousands today? The gospel won't be presented. They won't even have altar calls. There won't be anybody saved. And here's the thing. There'll be all sorts of lost people in the congregation. There'll be all sorts of people. People that came to visit. Nobody will get saved. We've already had people saved here this morning. See, the Bible teaches if you're not saved, you need to get born again. The Bible teaches that you're a sinner. It says, as it is written, there's none righteous, no, not one, and that for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible teaches that there is a penalty for your sin. It says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. But your sin will bring a penalty upon you. It says, wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, so death by sin passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. The Bible teaches that Jesus Christ died for you. He was buried for you and resurrected for you. There's a gift called salvation, and God makes it available to you. The Bible says that for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. What did He do? He died for you. He was buried for you. He was resurrected for you. The Bible teaches that for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You're going to have to realize you're a sinner. You deserve to go to hell because you're a sinner. Jesus died for you, was buried for you, resurrected for you, so you don't have to go to hell, and you're either going to accept Him or reject Him today. You'll either accept Him and let Him become your Savior, or you'll walk out of here having rejected Him. And if you reject Him, you've just said no to heaven. If you die later on today after having rejected Him, you will wake up in hell. If you're not saved, I wish you'd get saved. There are churches all across America, the pastor would not dare stand and present the gospel like that. Look, you can't save yourself. Your good deeds won't save you.
Giving money to the church won't save you. Getting baptized won't save you. Because Uncle Roy was a Baptist preacher, that doesn't save you. You say, well, I've always been saved. That's too long. Nobody's always been saved. Matter of fact, you've always been lost until you get saved. I love America. I'm not talking about everything that's going on in America today. I love that for which America has stood through the years. I love it. I'd like to see that America salvaged. The Bible says in the book of Lamentations, chapter 5, verse number 16, the crown is fallen from our head. Woe unto us that we have sinned. Let's try to bring America back to God.